Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Swick. Really appreciate the time.
Well, Stephen, I really want to thank you for having me talk to your audience about sleep disorders.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. Sleep awareness is becoming an important topic nowadays. According to the Center for Disease Control, 1 in 3 American adults don't get enough sleep. Why is the medical community just coming around to this fact?
Oh, that's a great question. In fact, the interesting question that we got to even... In medical schools, the average doctor who's graduating today is getting less than an hour of instruction on sleep. Now, if you consider that sleep occupies a third of our life, having an hour of education and 4 years of medical school seems a little bit small. And we are now discovering over the past 20 years that there are so many different kinds of sleep disorders and so many other disorders that impact sleep that the medical community is finally coming around and seeing, hey, you know, we got to learn something more about this so we can help our patients. And it's just kind of snowballing. And fortunately for the patients and the citizens in this country, it's really starting to happen.
Great. Now, a lack of sleep also puts people at risk for chronic conditions. What are some of those conditions?
I think anybody who has gone for 24 hours without sleep knows how they feel. Their ability to think clearly, their ability to function in terms of fine motor control is way off. But that's 24 hours of no sleep. But if you take somebody who is sleeping for less than 4 hours a night, every night, then that builds up. And what happens is that there are now very good studies that have shown that people who have that kind of fragmented sleep are an increased risk for developing things like dementia, degenerative neurologic diseases, higher risk of stroke, higher risk of heart attack, higher risk of diabetes. And there are many sleep disorders that can do that. And then there are other conditions such as men with enlarged prostates, men and women with diabetes who wake up through the night because of increased need to urinate. All of these things fragment sleep, and the idea that the individual has to go to their doctor and say, you know, I've got this condition and the result is my sleep is bad, but it's not just giving me a sleeping pill, it's finding out what the cause is of the sleeplessness. And that's very important.
What are some of the various sleep disorders?
Well, one of the most common that causes this is just straight insomnia. Patients who have learned insomnia, and there's some big fancy medical terms called psychophysiologic insomnia, where they sleep for less than 3 to 4 hours a night. They have difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, and it is a function of their psychological stress, and we see that very commonly in patients who have what we consider comorbid or associated conditions like depression or anxiety. Drugs and alcohol are a huge factor in disrupting sleep. People think alcohol is a sedative. Well, it is to begin with, but as alcohol is metabolized, it turns into a stimulant. So you see these people able to fall asleep, and in an hour they're waking up and they're unable to go back to sleep. So there are so many different issues. Sleep apnea, which we see as an increasing incidence because as there are more fast food places, our weight's going up. Weight is a part of sleep apnea, snoring, gasping for breath, stopping breathing during the night. All of these things fragment sleep. There are conditions that we call periodic limb movements and restless legs, which can be enormously irritating and literally create difficulty falling and staying asleep, that also fragment sleep. So there are just, you know, there are 120 different kinds of sleep disorders. And we're finding that the more that we learn, we're able to do more and more for our patients.
Okay, so you say there's 120 different sleep disorders, so we really don't have time to go into each and every one of them right now, but there are a list of five reasons that Americans are not getting enough sleep. What are those reasons?
Well, the number one reason is we're spending too much time on our social media devices. We should be decreasing the amount of light that's entering our eyes after 9 o'clock at night. Since the advent of the electric light bulb, which was in the 1800s, we have lost over an hour and a half of sleep. This is worldwide, not just in the United States. And when an individual, young person, middle age, sits there with their iPads, iPhones, or computers at night, that white light is hitting the eye, and it's preventing the secretion of a sleep hormone called melatonin. So that's disrupting sleep. The second thing we have to do is we have to avoid alcohol and caffeine at least 4 to 5 hours before bed. We need to exercise in the afternoon or very early evening. We should not be exercising close to bedtime. We should be watching what we drink in terms of fluids, non-alcoholic beverages, certainly no caffeine-containing beverages, but even water. If you find that you're getting up frequently at night to urinate, you need to cut back on that water just prior to bedtime. And then if you have conditions, medical conditions, that are associated with chronic pain, coughing, difficulty breathing, those need to be addressed specifically by your healthcare practitioner.
Okay, now what would you tell a person that, say, sleeps well when they first go to bed, they sleep well till about 1 or 2 in the morning, then they wake up for about 2 hours before falling back asleep again?
Well, first you got to find out what the situation is, how long has it been going on. If it's been chronic, then these are patients who what we call sleep maintenance insomniacs. And then you have to go look at things like alcohol, caffeine. Medicines that you take for high blood pressure can do that. There are many different kinds of sedatives. Even sleeping pills work initially to help you fall asleep, but they're really no good at maintaining sleep. And in fact, can make it easier to wake up later on in the night and then create the situation of more difficulty falling back asleep. So it's not a simple answer. It's very, very multifactorial.
Okay, what are some of the tips for getting a good night's sleep, and how many hours should a person get each night?
The amount of sleep that we get changes as we age. Don't forget, a newborn baby gets about 20 hours of sleep. By the time they're 6 months old, they're sleeping about 12 or 13 hours. A teenager needs about 8 hours, and then as we get into our adult years, we need between 7 and 8 hours of sleep per night. Now, that's, again, it's a bell-shaped curve. There are people who do well with more sleep and people who do well with less. One of the biggest factors today in terms of making it problematic to fall asleep is stress. And you can't take your stress into the bedroom. And what I tell patients is to reserve a time before bed where they literally write down in little index cards, if you remember what index cards are,
right,
and look at them and say, you know, these are the problems I had today. These are the people I had problems with. These are the situations I had problems with. And when you write it down and look at it, the intensity of those problems tends to diminish. So what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to look at the issues, process them, and put them aside so when you get into bed, you don't have to deal with them all over again. Read a book. Find something that gets your mind off of the hubbub of your daily life. Go to sleep in a cool, dark, quiet environment. The cooler, the better. One of the things I tell my patients with insomnia is take a hot bath or a hot shower before bed. But when you get out of the shower, don't swaddle yourself. Get into the room, set the temperature around 69 or 70 degrees and get into bed and put on a light clothing, not heavy, because as your body is cooling, the sleep mechanism is augmented. And many times that's all you need to do instead of resorting to a sleeping pill in order to fall asleep. So that's pretty much what I tell my patients.
Now, where can we get more information on sleep disorders?
There are some very good sites. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine has tips and brochures and information. That's the AASM.org, and then there's the National Sleep Foundation, NSF.org. And if people want to come to my website, which is sleepandneurology.com, you can find more information on tips on how to get a good night's sleep.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dr. Swick, for spending some time with me. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, and sleep well and pleasant dreams tonight.